The golden age of radio is on the air. Orchid State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Dick Tracy and the Case of the Empty Safe, the adventures of Sky King and the Stolen Pearls. We'll also hear the music of Kurt Massey with vocalist Martha Tilton. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Coming up, the adventures of Sky King and the Stolen Pearls. And later on today's show, the music of Kurt Massey with vocalist Martha Tilton on Alka-Seltzer Time. Right now, here's Dick Tracy in the Case of the Empty Safe as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Safe. Stand by for action.
Let's go, men.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
Say, want a brand new breakfast idea? Then get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Yes, indeed. Try the brand new cereal assortment with 10 individual packages in all. 4 Wheaties, 4 Cheerios, 2 Kix. All top favorites and all extra fresh. Yes, it's fun to take your pick from Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Get that tray today.
In yesterday's story, you saw how the evidence began to pile up, making Tracy sure that Spike Connolly was responsible for the dynamiting of the empty safe. You remember, too, how Sergeant Martin, while distributing posters of the description of Spike and his girlfriend, reported to Tracy his suspicions concerning the occupants of a certain house. Jumping into their car, Dick and Pat were soon there. While Dick rang the front doorbell, Pat went around to the rear to forestall any escape from that direction. Inside, Spike and Gert didn't know of Pat's whereabouts, made their way slowly toward the rear of the house. Today, Spike and Gert are almost at the back door. Dick is still ringing the front doorbell. Listen.
Just follow me, Gert. We'll get out this back door and beat it.
But they probably got cops all around the block. We're never going to get away with this, Spike.
Shut up and come on. Head for the back door.
Listen. They're surrounding the block.
Never mind that. Once you're out of here, we can get the car out of the garage and give him a slip. Now, take it easy. I'm going to open the door.
Okay.
It's okay. Come on.
All right, not so fast, you two. Stand right where you are.
Oh, he's got...
Never mind that, sister. Just stay right where you are.
Now, look, mister, we ain't done nothing. We were just going
out... Save that. I know who you both are. Now, stick out your hands.
Are you going to handcuff us?
Well, these aren't exactly pearl bracelets. Stick them out, I said.
Now, just a minute, mister, before you get funny with those handcuffs. Just who are you?
Oh, a wise guy, eh? Well, you'll find out that soon enough. No more fooling now. I haven't got any time to waste. Dick Tracy is around the front.
Dick Tracy?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, so you want to play that way, eh? Well, here goes me, bucko. Hit him, Gert. Not this time. Now, how do you like that, eh? You hit it up?
Come on, Spike. I knocked him out. I hit him with my shoe. Let's go.
Yeah. Head for the garage. I saw a car in there.
Break. The door wasn't locked.
Quick, get in. Now, this thing will only start.
Spike, we can't go out the front way. The cops.
Hang on.
made it.
That's right, kid. I had to drive through the back of the garage or else go out in the front.
They're after us.
Look out the back. Can you see them?
No, I can't see them. But that siren sounds closer.
I'm going to take this next corner. Now, take another look.
We're okay. We're in the clear. I don't even hear the siren anymore.
Did I tell you, kid, I said we'd make it, didn't I?
We wouldn't have made it unless I hit that guy in the head with my shoe.
Ah, you're great, baby. You're nice and cold.
Yeah. Well, where are we going, Spike?
Well, I ain't decided yet. Got to put a couple of miles between us and the cops. Too busy driving right now to think of anything else.
What are you stopping for, Spike?
I ain't stopping. Something's the matter with this car.
We're out of gas.
Shut up.
Oh. That's what it is. This truck didn't have any gas in it.
I'd better get out and take a look. Gas gauge seems to be busted.
Hurry up, Spike.
Give me time, will you?
What's the matter? You out of gas?
What?
Are you out of gas?
I don't think so. I only had a tank filled this morning. You did have it filled, didn't you?
Yeah, I had it filled right to the top.
Well, shut this thing off and come over and have a look. Maybe I can help you. Well, if you have a tank full of gas, maybe it's the ignition.
That's just what I was looking at when I lifted the hood. I don't know much about car engines myself.
Just step to one side and let me have a look under that hood. I've been fixing my own car since the days of the old Kid Lizzie.
Well, now, ain't that nice? Oh. Come on, Kid.
Gee, you're knocking cold.
Let me carry him over to the bushes.
Okay.
Oh. And we'll take his car.
Far enough?
Yeah, this will be okay. I don't want him to be seen from the road. Now, come on. Come on, Kurt, will you? Come on.
Feeling, Pat?
Oh, boy, this head of mine feels as if it had stopped a Nazi shell.
Wow.
That dame certainly put everything she had behind that shoe. Look at the lump on the top of my head. Oh, I can't even get my hat on, Dick. Oh, wait till I lay hands on that pair again.
Oh, let's get back to the car. I want to contact headquarters.
They certainly made a sucker out of me. What do you think of that dame getting into the scrap? That's what fooled me. Where are the rest of the boys, Dick?
I sent them out on patrol. Driving through the back of the garage completely caught them flat-footed. Oh, here's the car, Pat.
Hey, Dick, isn't that our signal?
That's us, all right. Now turn up the amplifier. Inspector Tracy, go ahead.
Sergeant Ross speaking, Inspector.
Go ahead, Ross.
Flash just came in from the highway patrol. I think it may have bearing on your case.
Yes?
Alan Preston of 575 South Street reports that he stopped to help two motorists that seemed to have mechanical trouble with their car.
A man and a woman?
That's right. And the minute he got the chance, the man slugged Preston, dragged him into the bushes and took his car. I've questioned Preston. The description of the man and woman tallies with your bulletin.
Any more details?
The license number of Preston's car was 4159-M, like in morning. It was a black sedan, four-door, 1938 model.
Good work.
Here's something else that may help, Inspector. Just as Preston was coming to, he saw the car turn around and start back in a northeasterly direction. The man was driving. The woman was sitting alongside of him in the front seat.
Good. Either one of them armed?
Apparently not.
Thanks, Sergeant. Pat and I will take over. Keep all men on 24-hour duty. Have them stand by for instructions. And pass the word around to the rest of the cars. Have them converge toward Area B. That ought to take enough to cross their trail.
Yeah, I'll get right to it, Inspector. Good luck.
Now, let's go, Pat. If you're well enough to drive.
It's just that my head drops a little. It'll soon be all right. Do you want to go direct on this highway, or shall we take the back roads?
Back roads, Pat. They won't stick to the highway. They'll know we'll have every man after them. Step on it and get to the junction of this highway and number 6 as fast as you can.
No luck, Dick. Been over every back road of the way. No sign of them.
That doesn't mean they aren't around here somewhere. They have to be, Pat. They can't just disappear.
Well, I'm beginning to think they can. You've seen 6 of the other cars, and they all say the same thing. No sign of them or the car. You know, I'd hope they might have trouble with that one, too.
Pull over, Pat. I want to check with the rest of the cars.
Okay.
Tracy calling car 7. Come in, 7.
Car 7, go ahead, Inspector.
What's the report?
Nothing to report, Inspector. We're at number 14. No traces as yet.
Keep me advised.
Yes, sir.
Inspector Tracy, calling Car 5. Come in, please.
Car 5, Inspector. I heard you talking to 7. My report's the same.
Okay, 5.
We'll keep you posted. Proceeding according to plan.
Inspector Tracy, calling Car 6. Come in, please.
O'Connor in Car 6. Heard your questions. We haven't got much, Inspector, but here it is. We questioned a farmer walking along the road. Said he thought he'd seen a car like the one we described with a man and woman in it, but couldn't be sure.
What direction was it going in?
Well, according to this man, it was proceeding in a northwesterly direction. And when last seen, was about 4 miles from the intersection of Middlebush Road and a highway.
Thanks, O'Connor. Pat and I will be right up there. The rest of you stand by. The rest of you stand by. That applies to all cars. That is all. Let's go, Pat.
You know, Dick, I think I know just about where O'Connor meant. He's right up in the heart of the farming district.
I know, Pat. When we get up there, I think I'll do a little inquiring on my own. Strangers always attract attention in rural districts. We'll start questioning some of the natives. And I'm willing to bet we'll soon run across a clue.
Hey, Dick, why don't we go ask that guy standing in front of that farmhouse?
That's just what I was going to do, Pat. Good afternoon, sir.
Howdy.
A nice day.
Could stand a little rain.
I thought you might be able to help us out. We're from headquarters.
Figured you was, saw your car drive up.
We're trying to locate a man and a woman.
I haven't seen them. How do you know you haven't?
Because I know a man and woman when I see one.
No, you misunderstand. This man and woman were in a car, a stolen car. We had information that they might have come this way. You see, these two are criminals. They're wanted by the law.
You sure you haven't seen any strangers around here? Now, listen, you always came here...
No use, Pat. Come on.
Yeah, but this guy...
Come on, Pat.
Okay. So, we'll try the next place and get the same kind of an answer. Now, if it had been me, I would have...
Look behind these trees.
Now, what's all this about? I thought we were going to the next place and see if we could pick up Spike's trail.
We don't have to go to the next place. Spike and the girl are in the house we just left.
What?
That's right.
Well, tell me, how do you figure that out?
Well, I was talking to the farmer. He tipped me with a wink. They're there, all right, Pat.
But why didn't he say so?
Probably Spike or the girl was holding a gun on him. I can't be sure of that, but mark my words, they're in there all right, and we have to get them out. Now, let's keep undercover and get back to the car. I'm going to contact all the other cars and have them block off every path or road in this area. This time, we're not going to miss.
In a moment, we return to Dick Tracy.
Say, want a brand new breakfast idea? Then get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Yes, indeed. Try the brand new cereal assortment with 10 individual packages in all. 4 Wheaties, 4 Cheerios, 2 Kix. All top favorites and all extra fresh. Yes, it's fun to take your pick from Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Get that tray today.
Boys and girls, Dick Tracy fans, you know, teamwork in everything we do is very important, and no one knows it better than the soldiers in our combat ground forces. Men like First Sergeant Marion Hitchens, for instance. While he was manning an anti-aircraft gun in the Admiralty Islands, Japanese ground troops opened up nearby on American soldiers with heavy grenade and small arms fire. Under heavy fire, Sergeant Hitchens dashed to a machine gun and single-handedly placed heavy and accurate fire on the Japs. In addition to killing at least 12, he helped stop the enemy attack. Now, boys and girls, that's teamwork where it counts, where a man thinks only of his buddies and not of himself. Every one of our servicemen belong to the same fighting team. And every one of us here at home who buys a war bond joins that team. We don't have to worry about Jap bullets or grenades, and our job at home is much the easiest of all. We've only got to buy more bonds and keep them so that the fighting members of our team never have to let up for the lack of a single gun or bullet. So, boys and girls, do your bit for the team. Buy that war bond today. And now, back to Dick Tracy.
You, farmer, get back in here. I'll let you have it with your own gun. You sure you didn't tip him off?
He couldn't, Spike. I heard every word he said. Anyhow, they've gone off.
Okay. But if they come back, this guy gets it with this shotgun.
Quietly making their way back to the car, Dick and Pat began contacting all the patrol cars and giving them instructions. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, for the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is George Gunn speaking. Boys and girls, every day, thousands and thousands of new friends join the ranks of fans will faithfully follow the adventures of Dick Tracy and Pat Patton. We don't mean just youngsters either. No, indeed, there are plenty of grown-ups who are listening in, too. And did you know this? All over America, and in other countries as well, more than 200 newspapers feature the daily adventures of Dick and Pat. And each weekday, another episode of Dick Tracy, one of your favorite radio broadcasts, comes to you at the same time over more than 100 radio stations from coast to coast. So listen to Dick Tracy Monday through Friday. Don't miss tomorrow's exciting chapter in the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.
Kellogg's Pep!
Say, gang, you want to spread the news around to all your friends that you're collecting those slick new comic buttons that now come in packages of Kellogg's Pep. Because that's the only way they'll know you can trade duplicates with them. And you won't want to miss out on that fun. You want to be sure you round out your collection of all 18 different buttons. Yep, that's 18 different comic strip characters, like Smitty and K.O. and Herbie and Superman, of course. And the best part is, you don't have to send in a single penny for these new comic buttons, not even a box top. Fact is, you can't buy them anywhere. But you can ask Mom to get you a package of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Inside each package, there's a thrilling prize, one of these bright new comic buttons or a military insignia or warplane button. Remember, that's P-E-P, Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek.
If that's the game you're missing because of a mean cold, here's something you should know.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take Bromo Quinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Bromo Quinine.
More people have taken more Bromo Quinine cold tablets for more complete relief than any other cold tablet ever sold. You could take aspirin or other single-action cold remedies all day and not get Bromo Quinine's more complete relief, even for virus colds. Bromo Quinine works to relieve stuffy nose, body aches, fever, irregularity, the blues, and headache. More complete relief, because Bromo Quinine is the only cold tablet sold with wonder-working quinine and five other medicines, health fortified with vitamin C. Remember,
every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take Bromo Quinine.
Get Bromo Quinine brand cold tablet.
Guy King.
Excuse me, Mr. Snodgrass, but do you occupy that room alone?
I can't see that that makes any difference, but my wife sleeps in the next room.
Does that answer your question?
It does. Go ahead. You've been asleep quite some time.
When I was awakened by a noise, I sat up in bed. But before I could speak, a man rushed past me and ran down the stairs.
You're sure it was a man?
Certainly, I'm sure.
But you didn't recognize him. You didn't think at the time that it was Gene McCall?
I didn't think anything. I jumped out of bed and turned on the lights. The safe was open, and the pearls were gone.
Who knew the combination of that safe beside yourself, Mr. Snodgrass?
My wife and my daughter. And that's all.
Three people again. What then?
I started down the stairs after the thief when my wife...
George, what happened?
Somebody broke in here. Somebody just stole that string of pearls out of my safe.
Stole the pearls? Who, George? Why, who would do a thing like that?
Quite a few people, my dear.
A question that puzzled Sky and the sheriff. Today on Sky King. Say, gang, knives are made for work, not play. Even small knives can be very deadly when in the wrong hands. And hands that are not working are wrong hands. You know, many fellas and gals have lost the sight of an eye because they were careless with knives. The number of fingers and arms and legs that have been badly cut can't be counted. No one ever thinks he's going to cut himself when he starts fooling around with sharp knives, but it happens many, many times. Don't play with knives or other sharp and pointed tools. Leave them alone. If you see one lying around within the reach of smaller children, put it away. If you do need to work with a knife, handle it carefully. Never cut toward yourself. Always keep the pointed end away from you. Never throw a knife around. Always put it away where it belongs. You have only 2 eyes and 10 fingers, so don't take chances with them. Always remember this little jingle. All the time, everywhere, be cautious. Take care. Now, the adventures of Sky King.
I tell you, I know darn well who stole them. Gene McCall. That's who. Gene McCall.
Hold it, Mr. Snodgrass. Hold it. You told me yourself just a couple of seconds ago that you didn't know how Gene could have gotten into your house. You told me yourself that he was out with your daughter and nowhere's near your place that night.
I don't care what I told you. I want that man arrested. I want him arrested today. Today, do you understand? Today.
That was the picture a few seconds ago. You remember what brought it about, don't you? A string of pearls, security for $10,000, had been stolen from George Snodgrass, president of the Fifth National Bank of Grover. The sheriff had asked Skye King to help in trying to find out who stole them, and Skye and Penny had gone to the sheriff's office to hear the story about the theft. Well, now, still demanding the arrest of Gene McCall, Banker Snodgrass raises a trembling fist above his head and brings it down on the desk before him with a resounding crash.
I want McCall arrested. I want him arrested at once, and I don't want to hear any more talk about it.
Maybe you don't want to hear any more talk about it, Mr. Snodgrass, but I do.
Why, you...
You just keep still a minute now. Now, you're a rich man, Mr. Snodgrass. You own a bank and a power company and a bus line and a lot of other things around this town. But I'm the sheriff. The people elected me, and they didn't elect me to go around arresting folks just because other folks is mad at them.
Why, I'll have your badge. I'll have
you
still,
I tell you. You came in here 2 days ago claiming somebody stole a pearl necklace out of your house. At that time, you didn't have no idea who done it.
I keep still.
You didn't have no idea, I said. But yesterday, you came in here a-yelling that Gene McCall stole your pearls.
Well, he did. He did steal them. I've had time to think about it. And I know he took them.
And maybe so, but from all you told me, there ain't no proof. Now, let me finish. I'll get a hold of Gene and have a talk with him. But I ain't arresting him. The county of Grover can't afford no lawsuit for false arrest. Maybe your bank can, but Grover can't.
He wouldn't dare sue me.
Don't kid yourself, Mr. Snodgrass. Gene may be kind of scared of you, but his lawyer wouldn't be.
What lawyer? Who's his lawyer?
As far as I know, he ain't got one. But if you have him arrested, he'll get one. Even if the boy has no money, the court will appoint one for him. And if it's proved that you had him arrested for spite, his lawyer will advise him to sue the pants off of you. What's more, he'll collect.
Well...
So, supposing you stop acting like a man what ain't got all his buttons and tell Skye King here the story.
Maybe Mr. Snodgrass doesn't want to tell it to me, Sheriff. After all, it's really none of my business.
I want you to make it your business, Skye. That's why I asked you to come here. It's a kind of a complicated affair, and me, well, I need your help.
Well, thanks, Sheriff. How about you, Mr. Snodgrass?
He ain't got nothing to say about it, Skye.
Well, I'd like to hear what he thinks. How about it, Mr. Snodgrass? Do you want me in on this thing?
I can't see where there's anything to it, King. Gene McCall stole that necklace. It's cut and dry.
Then I'll bow out. Come on, Penny.
Now, Skye, sit down, sit down. I make the decisions about who I want to help me and who I don't. I need your help. Now, sit down, won't you, as a favor to me?
Well, if you put it that way, Sheriff.
That's the way I put it. Now, Mr. Snodgrass, you want that pearl necklace back, don't you?
Well, of course.
You want the person who stole it convicted, don't you?
Naturally, I want him convicted, but I'm telling you...
That Gene McCall is the thief. That's what you say now. But I say there's no evidence, no proof. Now, tell Mr. King the story. And if he agrees with you that it's Gene, well, then it's Gene.
You have a lot of confidence in this man, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. All right, go ahead. Tell your story.
Well, there's no point to it. But I'll pamper you.
Thanks. Ask him all the questions you want, Skye. Go on, Mr. Snodgrass.
Now, last Friday, I was sitting in my office in the bank. It was after 5 o'clock when a friend of mine came in. He wanted to borrow $10,000, and he offered me a pearl necklace as security.
What was the man's name, Mr. Snodgrass?
That's not important. He was a friend of mine from upstate.
His name is Warner, Skye. Dudley Warner. I checked on it.
Why do you want to borrow the money, Mr. Snodgrass?
That's not important either.
To buy a piece of property, Skye, an apartment house. I checked on that, too.
You loaned him the money?
Well, of course I loaned him the money. That's my business. The pearls are worth 3 times that much.
Did you give him the money in cash, Mr. Snodgrass, or by check?
What difference does that make? You'd think I was the criminal here. I gave him cash. That's the way he wanted it.
I see. Then you took the necklace home.
I did. The bank's vaults were closed, and I have a very good safe in my bedroom.
Who'd you show the pearls to in your home? Anybody?
To my wife and daughter. Gertrude, that's our maid, saw them too.
3 people. Is that all?
That's all.
Would anyone have seen through the windows while you were showing that necklace, Mr. Snodgrass?
Do you think I'm a fool, King? The shades were pulled down. I saw to that.
All right. Then what happened?
I put the necklace in the safe in my bedroom and went to bed. I'd been asleep quite some time when...
Excuse me, Mr. Snodgrass, but do you occupy that room alone?
I can't see that that makes any difference. But my wife sleeps in the next room. Does that answer your question?
It does. Go ahead. You'd been asleep quite some time.
Well, when I was awakened by a noise, I sat up in bed. But before I could speak, a man rushed past me and ran down the stairs.
You're sure it was a man?
Certainly, I'm sure.
But you didn't recognize him? You didn't think at the time that it was Gene McCall?
I didn't think anything. I jumped out of bed and turned on the lights. The safe was open and the pearls were gone.
Who knew the combination of that safe, besides yourself, Mr. Snodgrass?
My wife and my daughter. That's all.
Three people again. What then?
I started down the stairs after the thief when my wife came out of her room.
What's the matter, George? What happened?
Somebody broke in here. Somebody just stole that string of pearls out of my safe.
Stole the pearls? Who, George? Who would do a thing like that?
Quite a few people, my dear Myra. There are a number of people in this world who would be very happy to get their hands on a $30,000 string of pearls.
$30,000? Are they worth that much?
At least.
I thought you loaned $10,000 with the pearls as security.
I did. That's all the money the man wanted.
Oh, George, you're responsible. What can we do?
Find the pearls. We've got to find those pearls.
Have you called the sheriff?
No, not yet. I don't want this to get out. Sheriff has a habit of talking too much.
Well, who owns the pearls, George?
That's the bank's business. I can't tell you.
Did you see the thief?
Just barely. Just got a glimpse.
Oh. Well, have you any idea who did it?
There are only three people in this town who could know that those pearls were in this house tonight. You, Francis, and Gertrude.
And you, George. That makes four.
You don't think I'd steal the bank's pearls, do you? Where's Gertrude? Where's Francis?
I did not steal those pearls, Mr. Snodgrass. I wouldn't do such a thing. You know I wouldn't. 8 years I work in this house. 8 years. Well, never before does anyone tell me that I steal.
And I didn't take them either, Dad.
Who said you did? Who said you did anybody as yet? But only three people beside myself should know that that necklace was in this house. Only three.
8 years.
Gertrude?
8 years I've been in this house. 8 long years. And never once does anyone
tell me. Oh, stop
that.
I just want to ask you a question. Did you go out of this house tonight?
8 years. 8 long, hard years.
I told
years.
You to stop that. Did you go out of this house tonight?
No.
Did you telephone to anybody?
I don't go out. I don't use the telephone. I don't do nothing. I just work, that's all. Just work. 8 years I do it now. 8 years.
All right, all right. Go to your room.
8 years. 8 long, terrible, hard years.
Well, how about you, Francis? Were you out tonight?
You know I was.
With Gene McCall?
Yes.
Despite the fact that I told you you were to have nothing more to do with him. Despite the fact that I had forbidden you to ever to see him.
Oh, why do you hate Gene? Why do you despise him? You've known him all his...
Francis, don't, please. Not now, dear. This is not the time.
I'm sorry, Mother. I want to know the answers to those questions, Dad.
I've answered those questions for you often. I'll answer them again, later. Right now, I'd like to have you answer a question for me. Did you tell Gene McCall that those pearls were in this house? Well, answer me. Answer me. Did you? Did you tell him those pearls were in this house?
Yes. Yes, I told him. But Gene wouldn't steal. You know he wouldn't. And he wasn't anywhere near this house, not even close to it.
Well, there you are, Mr. Sky King. Are you convinced now? Do you agree with me that Gene McCall stole those pearls?
Keep listening. In just 1 minute, we'll continue with Sky King. Gang, think of this. Guns are made for just one purpose. Guns are made for killing. Now, I know that many of you have brothers who were GIs, and many of them brought home war souvenirs. Some of those souvenirs are guns. Well, the best thing you can do with any kind of a gun is to leave it strictly alone. When you touch a gun, you take a chance. Even the most expert marksman in the world takes the same chance when he touches one. A sudden jar, even a sneeze, when there's a finger on the trigger, may mean sudden death to you or to someone you love. Don't take a chance. Steer clear of guns, any kind of guns.
As I said before, guns are made for just one purpose, to kill. So doesn't it seem kind of foolish even to think of playing around with anything that's made to kill? Hundreds of people have been hurt badly, even killed, with guns that they thought weren't loaded. There's no such thing as a safe weapon. Just remember, if you should ever so much as touch a gun, you're taking the chance of harming yourself or someone you dearly love. This is Mike Wallace reminding you, all the time, everywhere, be cautious. Take care. George Snodgrass sits there in his chair, grim, scornful, waiting for Sky King to answer him.
Well, you agree with me, Mr. Sky King, that Jean McCall stole those pearls?
I agree with the sheriff, Mr. Snodgrass, that you haven't any evidence at all.
Oh, haven't I? Then how about this? This piece of paper here that I found on the floor under my bed this morning.
What is it?
How does that prove anything?
What is it? How does it prove anything? I'm going to tell you, gentlemen. It's a pink slip. That's what it is. A pink slip which we give at the bank when we discharge an employee. Gene McCall was fired 2 weeks ago. And he's the only one who has been discharged in over a year.
There's big things popping, so be sure you're listening tomorrow when we bring you The Sheriff Makes an Arrest. The Sheriff Makes an Arrest. That's tomorrow on Sky King. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with The Adventures of Sky King. We also heard an episode of Dick Tracy and the Case of the Empty Safe. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. From a program of Alka-Seltzer Time broadcast in 1953, enjoy music from Kurt Massey with vocalist Martha Tilton on the Golden Age of Radio.
The Alka-Seltzer Show, transcribed in Hollywood, featuring radio's favorite singing stars, Kurt Massey and Martha Tilton, with the music of Country Washburn.
It's Alka-Seltzer time, Alka-Seltzer time.
Morning, noon, and night, it's Alka-Seltzer time.
I'm Kurt.
I'm Martha.
And here we go with the Alka-Seltzer Show.
Chug chugging at the station. Choo choo train, conductor full of cord.
Choo choo train, you know our destination.
Shh, shh.
all aboard. Choo-choo train, chug-chugging out by Jiminy. Engineer, go toot-toot-toot-toot.
Smoky smoke, puff-puffing up the chimney.
We're en route.
Say, Porter, fix a room, and Porter, bring us ice.
Porter, get a broom, sweep off the shoes and rice.
Hey, Porter, thanks a lot, you've been so very nice.
Porter, tell you what.
Here's a quarter, shoo-shoo, Porter.
Choo-choo train, please pardon us for hiding.
We'll explain in case you didn't guess. Choo-choo train, it's heaven to be riding. Honeymoon Express. The Honeymoon Express.
Thank you. Yes, sir, that old choo-choo train was a doubleheader. Martha, it sets us up very nicely for an all-duet show.
All-duet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kurt, here's our chance to find out if two heads are better than one.
Well, there's certainly no question about it when the two heads belong to Rodgers and Hammerstein. So let's team up on one of their outstanding collaborations, No Other Love.
Vitamins, say one a day.
One a day brand.
In a tablet that is new.
With vitamin B12 too. At the same low price to you. One a day.
Yes, one a day brand vitamins. Let's look at the vitamin picture this way, friends. Can you honestly say you get enough of the essential vitamins each day? Or do you sometimes wonder? Well, to be positively sure, every day take one a day brand multiple vitamin tablets. They supply all you normally need to take of all the vitamins proved necessary. But remember, take them regularly, not just once in a while, but every day. And then you don't risk vitamin shortage, one of the common causes of a tire-easy, pepless feeling. One-a-day vitamins are now in tablet form, with a much-talked-about vitamin B12 added. And you'll be glad to know they cost less than 3 cents a day when you buy the large package. Tell your druggist you want one-a-day brand multiple vitamin tablets in the blue box with the big red one. Here's another sample of that famous brand of Massey Tilton two-part harmony. Personally, I think this might be a good theme song for Dorothy Dix, When Love Goes Wrong.
When love goes wrong, nothing goes right. This one thing I know.
When love goes wrong, a man takes flight, woman gets uppity, oh.
The sun don't beam, the moon don't shine, the tide don't ebb and flow.
A
clock won't strike and a match won't light. When love goes wrong, nothing goes right.
The blues all gather round you.
All the day is dark as night.
A man ain't fit to live with.
And a woman is a sorry sight.
It's like I said, you're better off dead. When love has lost its glow. So take this down in black and white.
When love goes wrong, nothing goes right.
When love goes wrong, nothing goes right.
When love goes wrong, there's very little left. That's why nothing goes right.
Martha, we promised that this would be an all-duet show, but, you know, I think we could stretch a point and sneak in one trio, don't you?
Yeah, we need some vocal help from the piano department. That means you, Mr. Levere. You.
You. I'm in love with you. I could be so true. Someone like you do what you ought to do. Take me in your arms, please do. Let me cling to you.
We were meant for each other, sure as heaven's above.
We were meant for each other, to have, to hold, and to love.
You, there's no one like you. You could make my dreams come true. If you say you love me, love me like I love you.
Kurt, this steady duet work has me kind of bushed. Don't you think we could take time out for a sip of coffee?
Coffee? Hey, I think Teddy Bergman just brewed a fresh pot backstage. I can smell it from here.
How about that country? Why don't you and your boys fill in with about 60 seconds of oh. And refreshing, and I refer to both the coffee and that highbrow cafe clatch music.
Now all rested and ready for another twosome, Martha? Perhaps a love song this time.
Why, sure. Why don't we sing this one, Kurt? It should work as a duet. Even the title comes in two parts. My love, my love.
Who makes the robin sing? My love. My love,
who brings the joy to spring? Who else but you, my love?
Who makes my poor heart cry? My love, my love,
whose eyes are stars.
and I feel better. That's what you'll say when you try Alka-Seltzer for fast relief from acid indigestion. Alka-Seltzer for that feel-better feeling. Alka-Seltzer reduces excess stomach acidity with instant alkalizing action. And it works so gently, too. Thousands of sparkling bubbles soothe and settle the stomach and help bring relief with gentle, effervescent action. So next time acid indigestion makes you uncomfortable, get that feel-better feeling with Speedy Alka-Seltzer. It's tangy, refreshing. You'll like Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer, Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
The feel-better feeling comes in record time.
When your stomach feels upset,
for relief, don't you forget Alka-Seltzer.
Now we can slip out of this double harness and go our separate ways, Martha.
Oh, not yet, Kurt.
No?
There's one more duet on the program.
Oh?
The one we sing every day when we invite everyone to come back for another visit tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Ah, yes. This one you mean. We'll sing the old song.
We'll sing the new.
We'll sing the bright songs. And
maybe we'll sing the blues on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, too. For you.
For you.
For you.
Monday and any day is a good day to check up on your medicine cabinet needs, and certainly your family friend Alka-Seltzer can be one of your most important needs. Remember, when a headache comes along, Speedy Alka-Seltzer brings fast relief. Alka-Seltzer contains one of the most useful pain relievers known to science, and medical tests prove the system absorbs more of the pain reliever faster from Alka-Seltzer. Remember, for fast, gentle headache relief, take Alka-Seltzer. Get it at any drugstore. Listen tomorrow for the Alka-Seltzer Show, starring Kurt Massey and Martha Tilton, with the music of Country Washburn and his orchestra. Today's program was transcribed in Hollywood, and this is Ford Pearson speaking.
Friends, get a dandy, dynamic, dependable Autolite Stay Full battery with an extra water reserve. It's power-packed for pep and performance in sun, snow, sleet, or suspense.
Well, you forgot another S, Harlow. Service.
Service indeed hap, and that reminds me, Autolite makes complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars. Generators, batteries, starting motors, coils, distributors, all ignition engineered to meet the highest standards of leading automotive engineers. So, folks, tomorrow's the day to treat your car to an expert motor tune-up. Visit your local Autolite service station listed in your classified telephone directory or the dealer who sells your make of car, and be sure to specify original factory parts, the lifeline of your car. Always remember, Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means spark plugs.
Ignition engineered resistor spark plugs.
Autolite means ignition system.
The lifeline of your car.
Thank you.
the golden age of radio on WMKY and Cab Calloway with Some of These Days from 1930. We also heard a program of Alka-Seltzer Time starring Kurt Massey and Martha Tilton from 1953. This has been the golden age of radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the golden age of radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.